Oh, how many of y'all are glad to be here today? Anybody glad to be here today? You know what I absolutely love about that song is that it is absolutely true. That there is a God that is at the center of everything. And I kind of want to load you up for this morning's truth, okay? There's a God that is the center of the universe. What do you think? And we're not He. And that's a tough battle because sometimes we want to be God. How many of y'all have ever wanted to be God? It's kind of funny. How many of y'all have even told God what you need to do? Any of y'all have told God what He needs to do? God, you need to fix this. This needs to change. That needs to change. What if God comes through no matter what we say? In fact, I'm going to propose to you today that God is going to be God. God will come through no matter what we say. That God comes through. Jesus comes what? Through. All right? If you don't mind, if you just look at somebody close to you and say, He will come through. Go ahead, let them know. He will come through. Come on, talk to them a little bit now. If you want to go to a sit-and-stare church, you came to the wrong one, okay? We have about 120 available in the county. If you want to sit and stare, and I give you 15-minute devotional, and you get out of there and go, hey, I went to church. So what? I tell people all the time, they go, well, Pastor, I went to church Sunday, and I said, so did Satan. How did it change you? It's, have you come to Christ? Are you full of His life? Do you understand that there is a God that mercifully pursues us? I tell you what, that song, I about wanted to jump. Because the same God of the First Testament is the same God of the Second Testament. And that God is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus Christ is here right now, available to anyone. Anyone who will receive His mercy and grace. Is that not amazing? And that's available worldwide. So go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're picking up that Jesus is risen from the dead and revealing Himself. Jesus is risen from the dead. That right there takes a minute. What? Because dead men don't what? Do what, men? That's right. Dead men don't live. How did dead men live? Now think about this. In the very core of Jesus Christ is all of us. Dead people live. We are all dead in what? Sin. You know what's exciting me about our congregation? We're finally getting that. Now listen, I knew it'd take a few decades because here's what we were taught as kids. You were taught, I was taught, if I'm a good little boy or good little girl, God loves me. And if I'm a bad little boy, God doesn't love me. Then I got to reading the Bible, that's not in there. Joseph, that's not in there. Guess what the Bible says? We're all dead in sin, and I need something to bring me to life. That changes the whole world, doesn't it? Wait a minute, I need to come to life. So we're not about being good at Hillview. We're about being filled with life. In fact, I want you to get so full of God's life, you don't have time to make bad decisions. How many of y'all want to get so full of God's life, you don't have time to make bad decisions? Kind of be like a buddy of mine. We were at this New Year's Eve party, and he looked at me and he said, hey, Rev, I forgot to drink this year. I said, what do you mean you forgot to drink? He said, well, I've just been so busy doing all this Jesus stuff, I hadn't had time. I forgot what? I forgot about what I used to be about when I started following what He was about. Does that make sense? Now watch this. That's why I say, let's get full of Jesus and see what happens. Now Thomas, we're going to deal with Thomas. Chapter 20, verse 24, we pick up Thomas. Thomas, interesting guy. Now, Thomas, he if you look right there at verse 24, he's one of the 12 called the twin, Thomas. And he was not with them when Jesus came to the disciples. So Thomas has heard that Jesus is living, but he hadn't seen it, and he's not sure of it. You know, some of us are like that today, aren't we? I mean, we know that God could forgive us of our sin, or so we've heard. We've heard that there's a better life in Christ, but we're not sure stepping all the way in yet. You know what I mean? We've kind of been around it, but I'm not sure I want to be in it. Now, let me remind you, Jesus comes through no matter what we think. That's good news, isn't it? Well, let's talk for just a moment. It's a tough world to be in to let Jesus lead, because you know what I've observed? We really think we're the center of the universe today. What do y'all think? Now listen, I'm not going to get on one of my tangents about this. This is just proof. About exactly 24 years ago, we started doing something. At every sporting event, every little kid's peewee baseball, farm league. We don't have farm league anymore, but you know, all this. Russell, you remember that. We started giving people a trophy for breathing. I mean, if you could breathe, you get a trophy. Now, I threw a fit. Phil Moore and I went head-to-head over this trophy business. I said, Phil, it's absolute communism. He said, what do you mean? I said, we got some kids that stink. They don't need a trophy for stinking. They need to be cut. He goes, oh, Pastor, you need to go read your Bible. I said, really? My Bible says Jesus is going to make a cut. He's going to put the sheep on one hand and the goats on the other. Ain't a trophy for everybody. But hold on. There is for those who what? Receive grace and believe in Jesus. So I just wanted you to check that before we get to summer started off. Have you received grace? Receive God's mercy. And do you believe Jesus will come through? Well, guess what? Part of seeing Jesus is realizing you and I are not the center of the universe. It's tough. I mean, when Elizabeth and I first... How many of y'all been married? How many of y'all been married? I was about to say been married before. That's true for some of you. But how many of y'all been... How many of y'all been married? How many of y'all remember the first year of marriage? Do you remember the first year of marriage? Oh, that's a tough year. You know why? I'll tell you a quick story from Elizabeth and I's first year of marriage. And if you're just now gotten married, do not do this. This is a warning. I usually like to come out of the shower and I just flip my old towel on the bed. You see, my mama adored me. I mean, I grew up here. My mama adored me. I mean, I mean, I was it. And I'd flip my old towel over there. And guess what? A magic ghost would remove it and go hang it back up. Her name was Mama. Well, Elizabeth, for some reason, has an allergy to towels on the bed. It disturbs her. I mean, I even get scared when I just got my Western Red towel out. If I touch the bed, I'm scared I'm going to get in trouble with it. I mean, she doesn't like towels on the bed. Well, we'd been married a couple months. And I came out of the shower, Brian, and whew, flipped the old towel, strolled on. She looked at me and she goes, your towel is on the bed. She always says things sweetly, though. And I said, Elizabeth, my mama always picked up my towel. Now, let me help you. If you have just gotten married, all men, never mention what your mama used to do. Because guess what you're going to be reminded of instantly? I bet every lady in here can give me that next line. Ah, you did it. But you got to kick that hip. Boom. I am not your mother. And I realized, wait a minute, I am not the center of the universe in this deal. And then, hey, it kills you because guess what? You know, dads and daughters. I got a daughter. I love my daughter. I deeply love my daughter. You know, when she was little, she's a little princess. And then later on in life, I became an ATM machine to her. And then, that's what happened. Ben, you just wait. They just come to you. I felt like a slot machine. I just hold out my arm, crank it, and give it. That was it. They hit that. You know what I'm talking about? There's that face. But you know what? And then these little girls, they get married, and guess what? Your husband don't think you a princess. But your daddy did. And we are conditioned to think what we think is everything. Now, here's what I'm telling you. What we think is not everything. It's an opinion. And our opinion
Just follow me here. You can disagree if you want to. I mean, you'll be wrong, but you can disagree. Our opinion is not necessarily always true. What do you think? And our perspective on the matter doesn't always come through. But I want to show you what does. Jesus always comes through. Jesus is never swayed. And I just wanted to give you all some hope. Quit worrying about our government. God has been dealing with screwed up governments from the beginning of time. I believe he's qualified to handle this one. This isn't anything new to God. Guess what he's doing? Here we go again. A leader that thinks he's me. How many times has God dealt with that one? Well, Hitler thought that. He did. Mussolini thought that. He did. Neo, the great emperor, thought that. Dead. King George. Dead. King Henry VIII with all his women. Dead. King Solomon. Now just check it. Elvis. I'm just checking y'all. Look at Sheriff. He wasn't sure about that. Sheriff goes, I think he's on an island somewhere. Sheriff Elvis fans. Listen, when we are king, we don't last. But when God is king, he always comes through. Now, Thomas, he's all tore up. Let's look. Thomas says, he wasn't there. He's heard that Jesus is living. Many of you have heard that Jesus is living. I want to know, do you believe he'll come through in your life? Do you believe he'll forgive you of your sins? Do you believe that he will absolutely change everything that you are? I do. Many of you could stand up and say, he has. That's what's so exciting about in here. Many of you could stand up in your chair and say, preacher, he has changed everything about me. And he'll change you at any time. Now check this out. Thomas said, I must be convinced. So the other disciple told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. He said, I got to know. Well, here's what I want you to know. Jesus is going to be Jesus no matter what you demand. Now, Jesus didn't come to Thomas because he demanded it. Jesus came to Thomas because Jesus comes to people. How many of y'all are glad to know Jesus comes to anybody? He is no respecter of person. Hey, that's why I get so tickled when people go, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I got a big sin. I said, yeah, I understand. Jesus died for big sins. Jesus died for sins. In fact, I have never seen in the Bible where it says, I have never found big sin in the Bible. Yeah, just sin, brother. Isn't it right? But I have people come up to me, oh, I've done one of the big ones. That usually means you slept with somebody you weren't supposed to. That's a big one. I hate to be so blunt, but that's what it means. When I was a young pastor, I'd spend 2 hours in counseling. People would come in and say, Pastor, I got a bad spiritual problem. Now I just say, who'd you sleep with that you wasn't supposed to? And it cuts the session down to 5 minutes. In other words, we do things we're not supposed to. How many of y'all have done something you're not supposed to? Let me rephrase that. Anybody in here never made a mistake? Just check and see how many liars we got in the house that day. No, I mean, we've all made mistakes. That's why we got to be very careful when we start pointing our fingers, telling God who he can save and who he can't save. I want you to see the marvel of grace is that Jesus comes through no matter what we demand. Now, I've heard some of my buddies tell me this. They say, Ayers, I tell you what, I just don't understand how you believe in something that you can't see. And I respond, counter, I don't understand why you would even say that because we believe in stuff we don't see every day. How many of y'all see how the brakes on your car work? I don't even know how my brakes work. Now, some of you know how brakes work because you can fix brakes. But if you were to tell me, I still wouldn't know. Spell check. How'd that work? Now it's even more amazing. I love it. I text a little bit now. I don't like to text a lot. I text a little bit. And I pull out a text now and I push a little button and I go, yes, and send it. How's that work? Magic Santa Claus in there or something. I don't know. Hey, watch this. Just because I can't see it, just because I can't fully understand it, does that keep me from having faith in it? No. To this day, over 30 years, Elizabeth and I can be together, and I can't logically tell you why she would want to be with me. I'm telling you the truth. Logic doesn't explain it. We'll meet people, and people will ask Elizabeth, how? She was introduced at a woman's conference with the job no other woman in America wants, being my wife. But you know what? I have faith even in what I cannot see. True? Listen, I had faith our kids were going to make it. And there were times they were given no evidence of that response. How many of y'all you had some moments with your kids and you looked at them and go, you did not come from me. There's no way. Wherever you got that thought, wherever you got that idea, that did not come from our house. Any of y'all ever had that moment? Earl, you and Cindy ever have that moment? I mean, Karen's, they're in Bible study. You can go ahead and be honest now or whatever. See what I'm saying? Yeah. You have that moment where you go, where did you get this? But you have faith that what God is doing in our lives is going to come out stronger than what you've done. Jesus, come through. Let me show you. Now, sometimes we try to lock God out. I get so tickled. Bumper sticker Christians. That's my new label for these Christians. They're bumper stickers. They got all these bumper stickers and all these fears. I want y'all to quit fearing. In the name of Jesus, God is not a God of fear. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that comes through. He's a God that stays with us. And quit fearing what's going on. Christians all the time. Well, they took prayer out of the school. They did not. I guarantee you people prayed up at Western like it was revival last week. It's finals week. Dear God, forgive me for not studying all semester. And God said, I'm going to give you a summer job so you can take us a class again next fall. Yeah, we pray. Nobody, listen, I prayed over my school lunch. How many of y'all prayed over your school lunch? I went back. When I went to school, it was crazy. I went to school cafeteria the other day. I never seen anything like it. Salads, ice cream bar, cookie bar. They got choices. You know what we had? Pizza and corn. How many of y'all had pizza and corn as a school lunch? Look at Sheriff, bless his heart. They didn't even give you that, did they? Did they? Sheriff, they hadn't even invented pizza when you was back in school yet, had they? I'm telling you, it's crazy. Earl, what are you laughing about? They ain't even been in the Word when you was in school. And look at here. Now watch. Pizza and corn. Who does that? Have y'all ever drove by Pizza Hut or Little Caesars or Domino's? Hey, have you ever called Domino's and said, hey, bring me 2 mediums and 3 cobs? You ain't never done it. Only in school lunch. I don't know about y'all. I prayed over my school lunch. My prayer went like this. Dear God, forgive me for what I'm about to do to my body, but this is all that's available. No, I prayed over lunch, and I prayed right there at my table. I bowed my head and I prayed. And Ben, if somebody said something to me, guess what? Don knows, I'd have whipped them in the name of Jesus. I had a few things off back then going through high school. But I did want to make a stand. I want to tell you, watch this. Jesus is going to stand tall whether we stand down or not. Jesus is still in public schools. I want to let you know that. People are still getting saved in public schools. I want to let you know that. Don't give up on our schools because Jesus has not given up on our schools. Don't give up on our... Guess what? Guess where I've seen Jesus before? Y'all hold on to your seats. Washington. He's all over the buildings. Do y'all realize that in our nation's capital, some of y'all got to go up there, guess what's on the side of the buildings? Scripture out of the Holy Bible. It's not from the Communist Manifesto.
It's not from the Quran. It's not from the magic moments of New Age or the tree within me. It's from the Holy Scripture. Because you know what? God's going to come on whether we stand down or not. Amen, sister. God's going to stand up when we sit down. God's going to move on when we refuse to go. And you can't lock him out. How many of y'all are glad about that? You can't lock Jesus out. You can't lock Jesus out. Now, I'm going to encourage y'all to do something. Listen. I went to school a long time ago, crazy time in school. When I went to school, crazy time. Back when I went to school, we taught a subject. It was really a weird subject called history. And we have this thing in this nation called a constitution. I don't know if y'all have ever read it. I suggest that you do. But while I'm on this subject, I suggest if you're a resident of the state of Kentucky that you go vote on Tuesday. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you you better go vote. And I'm going to tell you this. Those of you that don't go vote, you tick your pastor off. Because I got people in my line that picked shrapnel out of their arms so you could go vote. I got some people that are buried up there in that little cemetery. See, I don't listen to all these protesters and all these kind of people. Lord have mercy. They just a bunch of mouths and bumper stickers. That's all they are, a bunch of mouths and bumper stickers. But see, Earl, he flew a plane and they were shooting at him while he flew the plane. He didn't fly a cruise plane. He flew a bomber. And he was getting shot at so that I could preach the gospel freely this morning. And if Earl hadn't gotten shot at, for all you pacifists, we'd all been going like this. But somebody decided to make a stand. Now, Jesus made a stand 2,000 years ago. He stood up out of the grave and he said, there's a new way and anybody can be saved. I like it, don't you? He said, Israel is going to expand. And now all those who come to me will be the new Israel. The First Testament and the Second Testament come together. Thomas says, I got to touch him. I got to put my hand on his scars. I got to put my hand in his side. Watch this. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. And Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, I just wanted to show you, the doors were what? Jesus got in. Man, I hope you get some power out of that. You can't lock Jesus out. Now, if you notice, the first part of the New Testament, Jesus always arrives places, doesn't he? Jesus arrived in Galilee. Jesus arrives here. After the resurrection, Jesus does something really cool. He just appears. He shows up where he wants to. How many of y'all are kind of glad of that? See, because when you get a risen body, you no longer confined to this earth because you are, I'm going to preach. You are now operating in the power of heaven. And that's where God wants the church to be. See, we need to appear everywhere. I love it. I appear places in this county that preachers aren't supposed to be. Makes deacons from other churches nervous. They put their arms behind their back. I'm like, man, just be real. Be honest. Be a human following Jesus Christ. Be authentic. But you can't lock him out. Somebody hear me today. You cannot lock him out. That's why I say let him in. Amen. But watch this. Even if you're not going to let him in, he's going to come stand in front of you. That's what he's doing to some of you right now. And you're going, well, Pastor, I must have a logical view of God. Really? Really? Well, let me ask you a question. How can your illogical self ever be logical? Those of you all that are so proud of being intellectual, you're not as intellectual as you think. Because you're stupid enough to think your opinion is greater than what God said. God doesn't change his mind. And he never will. Look at this. He stands before old Thomas. He appears. He appears. Elizabeth, kind of like you do sometimes, just appear out of nowhere. Elizabeth appears on me. Now look at this. He appears, and then he says to Thomas, you ready for this? Put your finger here. See my hands? And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but what? Believe. I want to show you something that's really neat. Thomas wanted to touch his scars. He wanted to touch his scars. I got to contemplating this over the past 3 days, and when I contemplate stuff, I usually call Elizabeth in to see if I'm right. I said, Elizabeth, isn't it interesting? I said, here Thomas had to touch his scars. But you know how I know he's Jesus? He touches mine. See, Thomas had it backwards. Jesus didn't get scarred up, so his scars would become a belief. We were already scarred up, and Jesus would take his hand and touch our scars. And Jesus would take his hand and put it on our side where they've hit us pretty hard. And Jesus will help us be forgiven of the past so that our present will become functional and our future will be secured. It is God Almighty that heals and touches. And he even allows us to touch him. How many of y'all are glad to know that we got a Jesus, by his stripes we are healed? Anybody here got scars? Oh, Lord have mercy. I got scars all over me. I am a scarred up puppy. And each one of my scars tell a story. How many of y'all, your scars tell a story? I got 72 stitches that ran down my foot when I was 13 years old. I was running wide open in the 1st of June. Got home from church. I'm running through the field with my bare feet. And Bennett, I was fast, son. I'm fast. I'm running through the field, and I catch a piece of barbed wire laying on the ground and rip my foot wide open. Every time I got my flip-flops on, people go, do you have surgery there? I have to tell the story about being a stupid kid running barefooted in the field and barbed wire. I got scars all over my body. I was an emergency room doctor's dream. I got a scar down the side of my lat. I should not have jumped that ramp. They were right. But my scars, because of God's grace, their stories become rewritten. Kind of like this, if I can make it this plain. Where I was stupid, God came through. Where I made a bad decision, God continued on with the right decision. And when we let God, Jesus Christ, appear, work, and bring us to where we need to be, we too will walk through locked doors and become the presence of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Jesus gives us some instruction here. Don't focus on your disbelief, but belief. Jesus answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, you believe because you've seen me. Y'all ready to be blessed today? How many of y'all want to be blessed today? I don't know about you, but I came to church to be blessed. I think we're to be a blessing. A couple of weeks ago, I'm going to have to brag on the sheriff here for a second. Is that all right? Y'all let me brag on the sheriff? It's not like I get to do this often. Y'all need to be saying, all right. Sheriff had a call of duty. He had a call of duty, and that was with Clay Jones, our brother, that lost his life. And sheriff had to lead that funeral procession. I was proud of our sheriff that day because he made sure that a life, a brother in Christ, Clay, a mother, daughter, named Clacy, he made sure they were honored all the way from Greenville to the cemetery. I'm going to tell a story on him. Clay owned a bunch of trucks, semi-trucks. They have a huge trucking company. And ever since he was a kid, he'd grown up with trucks. And two of the drivers wanted to drive in that procession. And they asked the sheriff, it'd be all right. He arranged. You all know how sheriff is. He gets weird things done. Amen? And as we drove by that trucking company, I thought Clay Jones had lived a life respectable, lived out, loved, and most of all, baptized in the grace of God. Sheriff's usually leading that funeral procession. Guess who I saw? Jesus. This time he is heavy set with a big hat on. We reveal Christ. Whether you like that or not, Chris Allen, we reveal Christ. When we have storms, I'm being serious now, I'm not even joking with you. And you're concerned about your city? Guess who's coming out of there? You know how I know? Jesus was the first stormtrooper. Remember, he was caught in a storm in the boat. He's kind of like you, Chris. He's the only one that didn't freak out. Except that one time we had a tornado, you did freak out a little bit since it was coming to the station. It was about that time that you freaked out that I told the pastors we might want to get inside because the station's just less than a quarter of a mile from our parking lot. And guess what came down? All hail, literally. Y'all remember the hailstorm, 98. Do you know what? Chris was on top of it. Many of you, thousands of you do great things every day. But our job is to reveal Jesus. But you can't reveal him till you believe him. Graduates, you believed you'd graduate, and what happened? Honey, what happened? You're graduating. Good job. But you know what? Graduation's kind of like resurrection. Okay, once you get out, now what? Well, you go from being the resurrected Christ to the revelation of grace. We go from being risen out of our sin into a new life, and now we ought to become the revelation of love and grace and mercy to the world. Does that make sense? So guess what? Today, how many of y'all convinced Jesus will come through no matter what they say? Can't lock him out. Number two, where you disbelieve, may you believe. And number three, I hope you see this. I hope this is beginning to turn in y'all's lives. I don't know anything impossible with God. I don't know anything impossible with God. Grahams, as you all head south a piece, take that with you, will you? So, man, when I was in college and in our young married years, we grew up in a church that believed nothing was impossible with God and that he would reach the world and go take that to that part of the world. I love being Pastor Hillview. It's a cool thing, but that's not what makes it happen. I love being a follower of Jesus. Because guess what? Literally, God has dispensed people out of this church all over the world. Literally, all over the world. That's not pastor speech. That's real. All over the world. And guess what God will do? He'll save anybody here today. Is that not amazing? Y'all been wonderful today. Let's stand together. We got to make a decision. What will you decide? What will you decide? What will you decide? Maybe your prayer today is this. God, help me with your what? Help me with my disbelief. Maybe today you need to open up finally and say, God, I'm a sinner that needs to be saved. I just need to be saved. We've already had people connect to Christ today. Lord, I need to be saved. Now, if you've never been saved, guess what? God wants you to be forgiven. Now know what I've asked you. I didn't ask you what church you attended. I didn't ask you what steeple house you grew up in. I hadn't asked you what denomination you are. You know why? On the day of judgment, none of that will matter. Let me tell you what will. Do you know Jesus? And more importantly, does he know you? I wanted to save this. Jesus believed in Thomas, even when Thomas couldn't believe he was risen. We don't control God. We are not the center of the universe. But let me tell you what we can be. People filled with God's grace and mercy. Amen? Let's be filled. Pray with me. Lord, help us with our disbelief and help us believe. Now, those of you that are believers, I want you to pray with me right now. For anybody in the house today that has never received Christ, I want to give you an opportunity, an invitation. Why don't you tell God, Lord Jesus, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. And Lord, today I want to be forgiven. I've locked you out of my mind, my heart, my thinking. But today, God, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Do you realize whosoever would be praying that prayer, God will save. Whosoever would pray that prayer, God would save. If that's you, we're just going to ask you to come forward. Guess what? We can't save you, but we want to celebrate with you. A second decision today, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to be obedient to God. Guess what he says? After you receive me, be baptized in obedience. In obedience. Be baptized in what? Obedience. Some of you have received Christ. You haven't been obedient in baptism. That's the string you've left undone. I cannot tell you the hundreds of people that have told me, Pastor Steve, I cannot believe how much more made sense to me after I was baptized. I said, I know that obedience thing, it works. Like taking out the trash when your parents ask you to. Things are better understood, aren't they, Jamie? Maybe you just need to come today and say, Jesus, I need to know if you're real. I believe he'll take it from there. You know what? Don't leave here shameful. Don't leave here guilty. Don't leave here confined. And don't leave here impossible. Be saved in the name of Jesus. Be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Be loved in what? In the name of Jesus. You say, well, Pastor Steve, my daddy don't love me. Yeah, but your Father in heaven does. Well, I had a bad mama. Guess what? You got a good parent in heaven. Well, I'm dysfunctional. Well, Lord have mercy. Everybody here is dysfunctional. Get a new story. Come on, let's let God speak today. Amen. Church, the altar's open. Anybody here get saved today? It's a great privilege. I want you to know that what I'm saying right now, I would be shocked in 57 countries right now on this globe for what I just said right now. This invitation would get me killed in 57 countries right now. But today you can freely come, you can freely receive, you can freely be baptized, you can freely worship God. So you know what? I'd freely come. In the name of Jesus, his grace and mercy is here. I invite you into his presence. Let him give you a hope and love and peace and joy. Come if you hadn't been baptized. Come if you need to receive Christ. Come if you just need to pray. I say come and let us decide. Come on, church.